That's found in the hymnal 453. 453, I love to tell the story. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you from this song. The first stanza goes, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. Second stanza goes, I love to tell the story more wonderful, it seems, than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. And the last stanza says, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. Share this song with you because all the stanzas here echo the sentiments of my heart, and I trust that it also echoes the sentiments of many of you who have heard this old story before and have been touched by the love of God through this old story. And the gospel is not only for unbelievers. According to this song here, it is also for believers, because we need to be reminded over and over of God's great love for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So this evening, I want to share with you from the Word of God two very short parables with this sermon title, The One Thing Worth Everything. I want you to think with me tonight and ask yourself a question. What do you treasure the most? If you have not thought about this, I hope you would take a few moments to consider this. What do you treasure the most? Or to put it in another way, what is the one thing that you are willing to sacrifice everything in order to acquire it or to protect it? Sometimes we have this caricature of a burglar coming to rob a person, and he puts a gun on the forehead of the person and say, your money or your life. Now, if you are confronted with such a situation, what would you give up? Money or life? I think the answer is obvious, isn't it? Most of us, if not all of us, would treasure our life more than our possession. But there is something that the Bible tells us that is even more precious than our life. The Lord Jesus exclaimed to a group of people who came to hear him preach, and he said to them, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? In this statement of the Lord Jesus, we see something that is even more precious than possessions and also our earthly life. And that is the preciousness of a soul. And tonight, as much as I would like to share the good news with those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would also like to speak to those of us who already know Him. Do you identify with the words of Jesus and realize that the soul is very valuable? What would you do to reach a lost soul for Jesus Christ? Sometimes you may think that, oh, is it worth all the effort we put in just for a few people who gathered together? Or maybe even for one person. And do you know that there was once an old country preacher who came for a service and there was no one attending the service because that night there was a big snowstorm. Service time arrived. He looked at the pews, it was all empty. But suddenly, somebody scrambled through the door and entered. And he was the only person on the pew. Now, if you were the preacher, what would you do? Would you say, let us go home and tell the visitor, come again, maybe next week when there are more people? No, the preacher did not do that. He continues to preach the word of God. And his text was taken from Isaiah. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the world. And that man, that little boy actually, who scrambled in was none other than Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And that night he got saved. One soul. The one thing worth everything that the Lord Jesus was willing to do is even for one soul in the world. Because he says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Now, these two little gems we are going to consider tonight of parables stress the incomparable value of the kingdom of heaven. And very quickly, we look at the first one called the parable of the hidden or buried treasure. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, would you please read with me? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a man who finds treasure hidden or buried in a field. The field might be a place, a piece of ground used for growing crops or grazing animals. In a day when places for keeping things safe that we take for granted today, like banks and safe deposit, did not exist, people had to make their own arrangements for hiding or keeping and protecting their treasure. I still remember my grandfather, when he was alive, used to have a can, a tin can, where he put his dollars and cents inside. And he would put it beside his pillow when he sleeps at night to watch over it. Some people will hide it under the bed. And of course, as very mischievous little grandchildren, we know, you know, what were inside, because when he's not around, we look for that tin can. But in the days of the Lord Jesus, what happened is this, is that one method they employed was to bury their valuable possessions. Now, if anyone did this before going off on a journey and then he failed to return, the possessions will remain buried on the ground and might be found or could never be found, you know, through a chance discovery like we see in this parable. Also, in frequent wars, people would hide valuables to keep them from looting soldiers. And sometimes the owners would not survive. All right, so that's how those buried treasures come about. It's not always from pirates that hide their treasure chests. Now, here Jesus is not dealing with the legality of the man's action, but making the point that there can be treasure such that it is worth selling everything in order to possess it. And he compares this with membership in the kingdom of God. Membership in the kingdom of God. In this parable, there is an accidental aspect to our discovery of the kingdom's value, because each of us is so absorbed in going his own way that God must take the initiative to show us the way to his kingdom. So in that sense, we chance upon the kingdom of heaven. We were not seeking it, but God took initiative to confront us with the gospel. And I can still remember when I was about 17 years old, never heard the gospel before in my life, and on a chance occasion, one morning in school, a classmate came and sat next to me, and he turned to me and asked me, "Can I spend some time sharing with you the good news?" And I say, "What is that?" I was not seeking my classmate to tell me the good news, but he came. And he wanted to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with me. So that was my experience, like the men who found the hidden treasure. Now, the word "sells all" in this parable shows the radical nature of discipleship. And there are two paradoxes here. Number one, you see that salvation is free because it comes by God's grace alone. It cannot be earned or bought. That's one paradox here. The second is that it costs the disciple everything, which represents the losses, hardships, and perhaps persecution that a follower of Christ is called upon to endure for him. And in that sense, we have to give up something when we come to Christ. And what he asks us to give up are things that are not good for us, things that will harm us and not help us. So there is a cost in that sense of discipleship. Now, explain a bit more, elaborate on this a bit more after we look at the second short parable, the parable of the pearl of great price. Verses 45, 46, we continue our reading. Shall we read together? "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, while the man who found the treasure discovered the kingdom's worth by accident, the pearl merchant was searching for something of value. When he finds the exceptional pearl, the pearl of great price, he was ready to secure it. And he, like the treasure finder, went and sold everything he owned in order to possess the pearl of great price." And the analogy to the kingdom of heaven is this, that there are people who are seekers after God. They try one religion after another, without finding peace of conscience. Then one day they find Christ and they turn away from all other religions and center their trust and hope in Jesus alone. And it could be said of such seekers, as it is said in this hymn, I quote, "I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true, no, I was found of thee." The two parables that we have just considered briefly have these same elements. And what are they? Firstly, there is the reference to something very, very, very valuable. The buried treasure, the pearl of what? Great price. Secondly, we see the person finding the treasure. Thirdly, selling everything that the person has. And fourthly, buying it. Now, what are the practical lessons from these two short parables? Well, firstly, I think what God is teaching us through these two parables are, one, the kingdom of heaven is priceless. It's very, very, very valuable. And the two men recognize the value of what they found. In the same way, the gospel of Jesus Christ is of incomparable value. Do you realize that? Do you realize, do you know the incomparable value of the gospel of Christ? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the gospel, simply put, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, is that Christ died for our sins and he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. And then he appeared to some of his disciples. Simply put, that is the gospel. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Why did he have to die? And the answer from the Word of God is to pay the penalty of sin that you and I deserve, and in so doing, for those who put their faith in him and repent from their sin, God grants them forgiveness of sin, reconciliation to God, eternal life, spiritual blessings in Christ, and a home in heaven. And if you look at these things, forgiveness of sin, reconciliation to God, eternal life, all spiritual blessings in Christ, and a home in heaven, nothing on earth can be compared with these blessings. So the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of Christ, is of incomparable value. Secondly, we learn that the kingdom of heaven is costly, because these two men sold everything to make their purchase. Now here we have to be a little bit careful when we apply the analogy of these parables, all right? And I want to explain here a little bit so that we do not misunderstand that salvation can be purchased. Salvation, as I've mentioned earlier, is free for everyone, for all sinners, but it cost Jesus Christ his life. In that sense, it is costly, and in another sense, it is costly because if you are willing to receive God's gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sin, you have to give up certain things in your life. If you are living a sinful lifestyle, you have to turn away from it. If you are worshiping idols, following wrong religions, you have to turn from them. You have to give all these things up in order to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that sense, it is costly. But as I say, what God asks us to give up are only things that are not good for us, that will harm us. And what He gives us is of incomparable value and precious. Now, this concept of selling that we see in the two parables must not be construed as teaching that salvation can be bought. It is a picture, rather, of renouncing or giving up everything that might be a hindrance to attaining salvation in Christ. And some of us who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as our Savior may have to do it against our family members. And in that sense, it causes us some persecution and opposition. So you must be willing to give up anything and everything that might be a hindrance to attaining salvation in Christ. Martin Luther had it right when he wrote, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also." And he did not think for a moment that salvation could be purchased by works or the renunciation of valued people or possessions. But he was determined that nothing, not even life itself, should keep him from God's kingdom. And John MacArthur aptly says, "Salvation that is not desired above everything else is not truly desired. Salvation costs nothing in the sense of payment because Jesus paid it all. But everything in the sense of what? Surrender." We have to surrender our all to take Him as our Savior. So I hope this explains to you, all right, that nothing in the parable should be construed as salvation can be bought. So the kingdom of heaven is, first of all, priceless, secondly, costly, and thirdly, the kingdom of heaven is personally acquired. Now, these two men personally went and individually acquired the buried treasure ground as well as the pearl of great price. And in the same way, the kingdom of heaven must be received personally by faith in Jesus Christ. So this tells us that salvation does not consist merely in seeing or knowing the value of Christ's work on the cross. Christ must actually become yours and mine by faith, which is the means of appropriation. And faith, by the way, has three elements. There's the intellectual element where we know the truth. All right, we recognize the truth of the gospel. Secondly, there's the emotional or feeling element where we find ourselves being drawn to the Savior because of His sacrifice and love for us. And thirdly, there is the volitional element where by choice and we act and call upon Him to be our Savior. Knowing alone will not save you. You have to personally make a commitment to trust Christ as your Savior. You have to make a choice, in other words, and act upon what you have heard and what you know, the gospel of Christ. Now tonight, I'd like to ask us individually, do you have the same experience of either person described in these parables? Have you discovered or found the kingdom of heaven through faith in Jesus Christ? If not, may I urge you to believe on the Lord Jesus now. Do not procrastinate. The Bible tells us that there's only one Savior and one way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. And except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. And there's nothing on earth that can be compared with God's gracious provision of salvation from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing on earth can be compared. As I speak to you tonight, my eldest brother is dying of cancer at home. I just went to see him before this meeting. And from last Saturday when he was in the hospital, still very alert and conscious when I share the word of God with him, his situation has deteriorated very quickly, day by day. Yesterday when I went, he can recognize me and his family. Today, he could not recognize any one of us. And his breathing is getting weaker and weaker. And the hospice nurse told us that his body is shutting down. Shutting down. He may not live through tonight. Although the family is sad, and they are mentally prepared for this, we are comforted that he has come to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. My brother has quite an interesting life. He did not finish his A-level due to relationship problem. I still remember as a young boy, one day he came home, crew cut, not because he was going to army, but because he was heartbroken. The girl that he liked, courted, dated, decided to break off with him. He was heartbroken, came back, bota head, want to be a monk. Some of you may be able to identify with that when you're young. Very interesting life he lived. After that, he did not go back to study at all. He started his own cosmetic business. He made his own formula in his own house, stir different ingredients together, came out with his own formula, and made certain cosmetic products, and they became a bestseller, both in Singapore and in Malaysia. That's many years back. Some of you may know the brand called J&E, J-E, standing for Jeffrey, my brother's name, and his wife, Evelyn. You know. And in a couple of years, his business just boom. And God uses him, at that time he was not a believer yet, God uses him to actually provide for my family when he called me into full-time. And God says, I'll take care of you, of your family, your mother and your father, and we, at that time, I have no idea how he's going to do it. But after I answered God's call, God began to bless this brother, and his business grew. He could take care of my parents. Over the years, of course, there were many problems, as in business, you know, struggles, ups and downs, and so on. Now, I'm not going to tell you a long story. I'm just reminded tonight of some things that happened. And what I'm glad to share with you that is that after all the ups and downs of his life, towards the end of his journey, 2 years ago, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. His daughter brought him to church. We were praying, in fact, I was praying for my family members ever since I was saved at age 17, 18. I say, God, please save my parents. Please save my brothers and my sisters. And I'm glad to stand before you here to say that God has answered that prayer except one sibling. My mother had 4 boys, 2 girls. I'm number 3. This brother, Jeffrey, is the eldest. My second brother died of heart attack 2 years ago. Just collapsed at home. No one was in. And he was discovered later by his son. But he was already gone. Now, he is the only one that saddened our hearts because he resisted the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the rest of my younger brothers and sisters have come to know the Lord first, then my parents, then the eldest brother, and we lost one in that sense. But I'm glad that the family is comforted today. And in fact, they know that it is better for him to be with Christ than to continue in his suffering here. And I can tell you, at the end of life, what is it that you treasure the most will not help you face the ultimate experience of all humankind. Dust thou art, to dust shall thou return thither. And you and I don't have to wait until that last moment to start thinking. Right now, we should be prepared. There's nothing on earth that can be compared with God's gracious provision of salvation from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at the past of my brother's family and children and today, after he has come to know the Lord, and also my sister-in-law, my nephew and niece, there is a big difference. In the past, they had all the material things. They were not happy. There were many conflicts. Life was empty. But today, despite the failure of his business many years ago and his health, the family are so united and loving. And what pulls them together? The Lord Jesus Christ. And what comforts them at this point is not the money they have, the success, but it is Christ and Christ alone. So, dear friends, I share this from my heart to you. And I urge you this evening to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't, so that you, like the man who found the treasure on the ground or the great pearl, the pearl of great price, would find the incomparable value of the kingdom of heaven. And beloved, do not think if you have given up everything for Jesus that you will one day find yourself disappointed. That will never happen. That will never happen. How could it be when the treasure is God's kingdom? How can the outcome be bad when it means salvation and spiritual blessings in Christ? So, my dear friends and beloved, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I hope God speak to your heart tonight, and I hope you will also find the one thing that is worth everything. I'd like to ask the choir to come and sing the last song before we pray together.